for me. That sounded good. Give me that old-time gospel. And it's still good. Even today. We're delighted that God has watched over us, blessed us with life, health, and strength, and the presence of mind to come together and worship Him in spirit and in truth, according to His commandments. It's been an interesting week, and so far it's been an interesting day. We're delighted to have those of you who are visiting. If you have questions regarding the worship service, don't hesitate to ask. We endeavor to worship God in spirit and in truth, according to the time that the apostles, as we read in our Bibles, they preached on the day of Pentecost. I think it was Pentecost. They preached. And the first sermon preached on planet Earth, there were thousands who obeyed the gospel. Now we almost like you have to have 1,000 sermons to get a few folk to hear, believe, receive, and obey the gospel. Which way are you going this morning, preacher? That's a good question. And God knows the answer. And He knows the answer better than me. John chapter 14. The book of John. It's in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Chapter 14. And I'm coming there with you slowly. John chapter 14. We're concerned with verses 1 through 9. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Isn't that something? That where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, he said, you know. Verse 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither you goest. How can we know the way? We don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father. How? But by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us, and we'll be satisfied. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long a time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me, has seen the Father. And the Father, he that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Operating under new management, John chapter 14, and verse 9. Actually, it's verses 1 through 9. The impression we have of God colors everything we are, everything we do, and what God is like. Some exists, we can know God from the world without. Nature bears witness. Nature bears witness. Witness to what? To his coming. He says he's coming back. Nature is fine for telling us that God is, but nature cannot tell us who God is. Who God is. Nature cannot tell us what and how God thinks of us collectively or individually. Do I think that he is pleased with me when the sun is shining bright? Good question. Then what am I to think when the night is dark, storming, lightning? What am I to think? What is God like? Who is this one whose circumference is not known? Who is this? What is his nature? Notice the answer that Jesus gives, a rather staggering statement. Jesus says at this time, he that has what? He that has seen me, John chapter 14, verse 9, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. John chapter 14 and verse 9. Christ is God-like. He is the Son of God. Came all the way to the world. Chose 12 men. Taught 12 men. They learned. And they were told by Jesus, preach the word, spread the doctrine that I have given you and the Holy Spirit has given you. Christ was God-like. He lived in such a way to please his Father. That's the way the Father wants all of his children to act. To be pleasing children to him. God was pleased to do what? To send his Son. To stay on planet Earth 33 years, that we might get to know him as well as his Son. He and he alone in Scripture is referred to as God's only begotten Son. John chapter 3 and verse 16. We must see God in and through Jesus Christ and to an extent the apostles that Jesus chose. We beheld Jesus, the writer says, John chapter 3. We beheld his glory as the only begotten, as the only begotten Heavenly Father, full of grace and full of truth. Saving faith is always personal. To know that Christ died is history. To know that he died for me is faith. To believe that God loves the world is one thing. To believe that he loves me and gave Jesus Christ, he loves me and gave himself for me, is quite different. Question: have you beheld, have you beheld for yourself the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Oh, that's a good question, preacher. Oh, we sing the song and love to sing it. Hold to God, unchanging hand. In that day that God had determined, when we read Acts chapter 2, I believe it is, the gospel was preached in its complete fullness. Thousands heard Peter preach. And perhaps the largest choir that ever obeyed the gospel at one time. I don't know that. But it was a whole heap of lot of people. Thousands obeyed the gospel. It remains for us to answer for ourselves whether or not we love. Do I love the Lord? Do I love the Lord enough to hear His word, believe His word, receive His word, and obey His word? It is not what the church is at bottom, and at best, it's individually, not collectively. The church won't stand before God for me or for you. Each one of us. Revelation chapter 20 lets us know that God keeps a record on every one. Church, in the simplest terms, is a group of people. Church, in simplest terms, is a group of people who have obeyed the gospel from their heart, and the Lord and God has saved them, added them to His family. If we obey Him, hold to His unchanging word, God has something prepared for us that human lives have never seen so wonderfully. Eyes have not seen the glory of the coming of the Lord yet. But if we continue to be faithful and committed to the will of God, there's coming a time when we will not only see it, but be in it forever. No more problems. No more foot trouble. Walk, walk, walk with the Lord. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Those who saw God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ made an impact on the world of that day, from which the Roman Empire never fully recovered. The day of Acts chapter 2. They literally changed the course of glory, changed the course of history. They turned the world upside down. And people are still, even in this time that we live in, don't believe that there is only one church. One church. Not two. One church. That was established by the apostles through the preaching of the message that Jesus gave them. Read it for yourself in Acts chapter 2. And the Bible even says, one Lord, one faith, one faith. How many is one? How many is one? Did you go to school? One is less than two and more than none. That's one. When some of those earliest Christians made it known one day that they were headed to the Lord, headed to Thessalonica rather, word went out in that Grecian city. Back in those days, way back yonder, that they turned the world upside down. Those same people that's been turning the world upside down, they come in here too. Acts chapter 7, verses 5 and 6. They were able to change their world. Why? Because God's Son, Jesus Christ, had changed them. So they were able to change others and many others. They had become new creatures in Christ Jesus. New beings. Life for them had taken on a new dimension. Where are you today? They were operating under new management. The Lord and Savior. So complete was this transformation that one of them was heard to say in Romans chapter 14 and verse number 8, if you have your Bibles, "For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. Come what may, come what go, we belong to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, this is the kind of explosive power needed today that you and I need to live regardless of the humiliation, the distrust, whatever it takes. We sing the song, "Hold to God's unchanging hand." Let us be loyal to God. A love like Christ's can keep us true. A love like Christ's, Christ Jesus, can keep us true anywhere that God sees fit for us to go. A minister tells the story about a night during World War I, driving back from Columbia, South Carolina. He picked up four soldier boys. Presently, one of the soldier boys said, "You are the," talking to the driver, "you are the minister, aren't you?" The answer to him of the driver said, "Yes." The boy wanted to ask the minister, the driver, a question. The minister was also driving a living. So that's not just in Church of the Christ that preachers have to do different things. I just thought you'd like to hear about that. He wanted to ask a question. The soldier boy asked, "Do you think a man ought to get married before he goes overseas?" These were soldiers writing. The minister senses the driver, an undertone in the question, and said, "I'll answer your question if you will answer one of mine first." The young man said, "All right." The driver said, who's also a preacher, "Have you already gotten married?" The boy answered, "Yes." Came the somewhat embarrassed answer, "I got married just last week." Now he's riding in the car with some other boys. "Well," said the minister, "if that girl loves you enough so that she will be true to you, she will be true to you though you may be away for 3 or 4 years. Other men may find her attractive, and if you love her enough so that you will be true to her, are you listening? Though you will be 3,000 or 4,000 miles away and may be thrust into fierce temptation, you did right to get married." The boy's face seemed to glisten in the dark. He answered with a ring of certainty, "Sir, a girl like that could keep a man true anywhere." "And in a like manner, infinitely more wonderful, Christ keeps true." Hello, as we wind up here. "In like manner, infinitely again, more wonderful, Jesus Christ keeps true those who do what? Who yield their lives to him." Jesus Christ can keep you. If you drift away, it's not because he doesn't have the power to keep you. It's just because he doesn't make you stay faithful. Hold to God's unchanging hand. That's a little bit more than what's on my note. My note says, So Lord, show us the Father, and it will be enough for us. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and we beheld his glory. The only begotten of the Father, full of grace, full of truth. John chapter 1 and verse 14. So whether we know God in this way is a matter of life and death, of holding to God's unchanging hand regardless. Do you really know God? Do you really know God? We are a few days closer to meeting him than we were a few days ago. Do you really know God as Lord and Savior? If not, change it. Make your calling and election sure. God did not have all of these men to write for naught. He didn't send his only begotten Son to come down to earth for 33 years with creatures that he created. If you don't know God, get to know him. Obey him and make your calling and election sure by becoming a child of God's, because you obeyed his gospel. Listen. Jesus chose 12 apostles. He remained on planet Earth 33 years working with these men that he had chosen to know his word, to obey his word, to carry his word, to teach his word. We have it in biblical form on the holy book called the Bible. Study it, believe it, receive it, and obey it. And hold on after you obey it to God's unchanging hand. And at the final roundup of human affairs, when God, when you and I, we are members of that group that the Bible talks about in Revelation chapter 20, Judgment Day, you will be able to hear him say, two words. You know what they are? Well done. And then some more. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been you've been faithful. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. Do. Not try to do. Do what God teaches in his holy book called the Bible. One Lord. How many is one? Less than two? And no, and more than none. One. Jesus' chosen apostles preach God's truth with the power of the Holy Spirit that guided them into all truth. And never did they establish more than one church, the Church of Christ. Your Bible says, and my Bible says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. But it's your turn. It's your choice. It's your choice. Whether you want to be a member of the Church of Christ and live accordingly to God's word, or to be a member of a church that you want to be and can't read about it in the Bible and go into judgment and trust and tell God, I didn't want to be there, but I wanted to be at this church. Three words. Three words you will hear. Depart from me. Three words. I never knew you. You don't want to hear that. Because when God says that, that is forever. No more dying. That's only in the when you leave and when you are a human being on planet Earth. But when you're resurrected on Judgment Day to live forever. You've obeyed the gospel. You've obeyed our Lord and Savior. Well done, thy faithful servant. Come on up. I want to raise you up a little bit higher. Isn't that what you want to hear? Well done. Why do you have a Bible? Why do you have a Bible? If you are not going to read it, believe it, and obey it. That doesn't make sense. The Bible talks about one church, 12 apostles. All of them preach the same gospel. All of them establish the same church by the power of the Holy Spirit. God makes no one obey him, nor Jesus Christ. He loves his begotten son, and he loves human beings, because look what he allowed his begotten son to go through with. Leaving heaven, coming down to planet Earth, and staying for 33 years just for us, that we might come and live with them forever. And I don't want to disappoint him. I do not want to disappoint God. Anybody here want to disappoint God? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. But those of you who want to please God, you've heard the gospel, believe it, receive it, obey it today. Not tomorrow, because tomorrow is not promised to us, and we don't know what holds tomorrow. We sing the song, don't we? Hold to something, to God's unchanging hand. You heard the gospel. Believe it, receive it, obey it. As we together stand and sing the song that's been selected. Of you fight on.
And wash away my sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, yes!
Singing, oh, precious is the flow that makes me wise.